meeting to order. Can we have a roll call, please?
Trustee Robert Boy. Trustee John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Robert Marshall. Trustee Tim Struthers.
Here.
Committee Chair Mark Strauss.
Here. Mr. Blakemore, can you verify that we have a quorum and appropriate notice was posted?
Mr. Chair, appropriate notice pursuant to the Open Meetings Act has been made, and the fact that Trustee Marshall just walked in means that you also have a quorum plus one.
Plus one. We had a quorum when we started, too.
Right, exactly.
All right. Can I have a motion to approve the printed agenda and the materials?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have some minutes that were also attached to the printed materials for the meeting of December 17th, 2015. Can I have a motion to approve those, please?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I want to allow us to get to our business, so I don't really have any announcements today. I would like to welcome representatives here from governing councils, Dr. Long, Ms. Nicholson. Thank you for sticking it out for the afternoon. Welcome back. Do you have any comments that you'd like to make before we get into the rest of our agenda?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Blakemore, anybody request public comment?
I have not had any requests.
Nope.
Oh, okay. For a minute there, I thought maybe there was some uncertainty. All right. Let's turn our attention then to the university reports. Spring 2016 10th day enrollment information.
You might pull a mic over, too.
We have a few things to share. One is I will start out with information as it relates to spring enrollment numbers, the 10-day count. Final numbers came through this week. And so I will do a breakdown of that information. I do have some talking points to share with you, so it'll be easier to follow me as I go through and pull out some information, some interesting data and information. And then we'll talk about recruitment efforts and update you on some programs. There are a few that I would like to update you on. And then I will pass it on to Danny Rollins, and she will speak more in depth of some of the undergraduate recruitment efforts that we have. What I'm passing around is the some 10-day count, some talking points. I understand that you have up there a copy of the details of the enrollment, but I want to put things in perspective in regards to spring semester.
You could pass that around as well.
The second sheet that I'm passing around deals with specifically what our undergraduate enrollment has been during the spring semester over the past few years. And so I think, as I noted, it's important that when you get these numbers, you really put them in perspective and not just looking at what you did in comparison as it relates to last year. Total enrollment for spring 2016 is at 18,519 students. This is a decrease of 481 students, a 2.5% drop in comparison to spring 2015 when we had 19,000 students. As with the fall semester, this spring, this is the lowest decrease at NIU in the past 5 years. In regards to undergraduate students total, we were down 245 students in comparison to spring of last year, and this is a drop of 1.8 percentage points. This is the smallest decrease in the past 5 years, and the talking points that I give you, I give you some numbers that kind of put in perspective in regards to our 245 student decrease in undergrad enrollment. Last year, we lost 500 students in comparison to the spring before. Spring 2014, we were down 518 students in comparison to the spring before. And if you go back to 2013, that number was 713 students. And so I also share that the last time we lost less than 200 students in the spring semester in comparison to the spring before was back in 2010 when we lost 187 students. And so I just want to show from the standpoint of where we have come from, how far we have come in just a short period of time in regards to the drop in enrollment we've been experiencing, particularly amongst our undergraduate enrollment. Trustee Strauss, it looks like you had a question.
Very perceptive, I do.
Yeah.
So these are spring to spring numbers.
Yes, they are.
How did we do from fall to spring?
Last,
what was the retention rate?
Our retention rate for first for new freshmen was 88.5%, and last year the the retention rate from fall to spring for our new freshmen was 87%, and so we had an increase of 1.5 percentage points. If you look at our retention from fall to spring for new transfers, last year it was 90%. This year it's 90% as well. But if you look at retention in other areas, we had some increases across the board. For example, if you look at our colleges, we saw increases in student retention among our colleges. They either remain flat or equivalent to last year, or they were up anywhere between 1 and 3%. I give you some numbers as it relates to my talking points. For example, College of Business had remained flat at 87%. College of Education increased 2% in regards to their fall to spring retention from 85% last year to 87% this year. College of Engineering and Engineering Technology remained flat at 86%. College of Health and Human Sciences remained flat as well at 84%. College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, which is our largest college, increased 1% from 82% to 83%. And finally, the College of Visual and Performing Arts had the largest percentage increase at 3% from 87% to 90%.
Those are undergraduate.
Yes. I do not have actually, those are overall. I'm sorry. Those are overall, I believe. Any additional questions before I move on?
Any other questions?
So the good news is retention is improving.
Yes, the good news is retention is improving. And in past conversations that we've had, I noted that first and foremost, from the standpoint of increasing enrollment, the first big step is improving retention and retaining the students that you do have. And so we have seen continual improvement over the past couple of years.
A question. So, Eric, you had mentioned, do we have questions now before we move on? So what were we going to cover next? So I know if I should ask that question now or later.
Yes. Next, I'm just going to identify some interesting points as it relates to increases in undergraduate student enrollment this spring, particularly looking at our new transfer students.
Thank you.
Okay. Total new undergraduate student enrollment for spring 2016 totaled 790 students. So we brought in 790 new undergraduate students for this spring. This is an increase of 33 students, or 4.4% compared to spring of 2015. In spring of 2015, we brought in 757 new students. Total new transfer student enrollment for spring 2016 totaled 531 students. And I mention this because we had an increase of 28 new transfer students this spring, which is an increase of 5.6% when compared to spring of 2015. Also in regards to I shared retention, and so I want to take any additional questions before I move on to the next part.
Just a question on things that may be coming off the assembly line to help us with retention, new initiatives. Are there some that are being developed or just going in to action?
We're continually creating new initiatives from the standpoint of retention programs. And then there are some that have continued on over the past few years. But is there anything specifically that you would like to hear about? Or
anything that will bring the numbers up.
Maybe I can also add that we're in a period of assessing the efficacy of a number of retention initiatives that were launched in the first few years of President Baker's administration. As you may remember, as we unveiled the triangle, and you may have that vivid image of the leadership retreat with Dean McCord wheeling out the duodecahedron or whatever that pyramid thingy was, with all of the sticky notes and all of the initiatives that we launched. We're actually doing an assessment to see where the greatest return on investment was for the things that we tried, so we can continue to invest and support those initiatives and perhaps not invest in things that sounded like a good idea, felt good, and didn't really work. So that work takes a little bit of time to do, and those answers take a little time to get, but that's where we are. And hopefully we'll have a presentation of that work available to the board over the course of the next few months.
I take it from the question that there's interest in receiving that report. We would like to become advised as to what is working, and also from Trustee Marshall's question, what's queued up next. Other questions?
Do you have a sense of what, is there anything unusual happening with respect to new transfer students that may have led to, one, the retention of the numbers from last year, but also the increase?
Yeah. Well, our history shows that our transfer students, they do well overall. And so I think that we can contribute from the standpoint of the retention side is, I think, from the standpoint of our faculty and some of the academic support programs that we have. But also I think that we can contribute from the standpoint of the increase as it relates to new transfer students is with Dani and her group and her work with our academic programs. President and I, we recently had a conversation in regards to some of the things that were happening with our new freshmen in our enrollment and what we did this past fall. And what we would need to do from the standpoint of making up any differences. And so there's been, as you know, a number of efforts that has focused in on our community colleges and how we can strengthen our relationships with them, but also how we can, how should I say this, how we can better attract some of those community college students. And I know that some of our community college some of our top feeders are very interested in us spending a bit more time on their campuses recruiting. And so from the standpoint of identifying the possibility of setting up office on those campuses as well. And so there are definitely things that we're looking at to help boost numbers. And Dani, would you like to add anything in regards to transfer student recruitment?
Yeah, I would just say that the university marketing group has just finished a brand perception study. And so in that study, it looks like we're doing a better job of communicating with transfer students as to what they can expect when they get here. And so I'm hoping that will increase both retention and recruitment as well. So that would be the only thing I would add.
Okay.
I know that these statistics haven't been available for long, and also that Eric and Danny aren't primarily interested in the graduate numbers, but I'm wondering whether Lisa might be in a position to comment on whether there's been any response yet or thoughts about the percentages of the decline in the graduate and the law school.
The law school, I would really need to talk to Dean Cordes, and I don't really want to get out ahead of Dean Bond on the graduate numbers. I can tell you that I know that some of our more popular graduate programs, and computer science comes to mind, had really reached capacity where they couldn't serve the increased demand honestly and provide the students with a reasonable experience. So they actually deliberately limited admission while they hired more resources so that they could continue to grow. And I don't know if that's what's reflected here or not. So without a conversation, I really can't speak to it, but I'll get that information for the trustees.
That would be good. I think that might be a good topic for the next time that we get together is to focus. We've spent a lot of time talking about the undergraduate admissions, and not as much talking about the graduate admissions. So it may be time to open that conversation too.
Sorry.
Go ahead, please.
I was just going to say that as institutions begin to get their numbers for the spring semester, I think there's a lot of looking into the data as it relates to what happened between fall and the spring semester. One of our competitors has recently put out information in regards to their spring enrollment, and they had a significant drop in not just their undergrad student enrollment, but their graduate student enrollment by 11% or 400-plus students from fall to spring. And so I think that there may be some interesting things going on. Maybe it's a result of the budget situation and the uncertainties that go along with it, but it'll be interesting to hear from some of the other institutions as they put out their numbers for the spring.
And I would also just follow up to say that in general, historically, as the economy gets better, graduate enrollment goes down, and we might be seeing part of that phenomena reflected overall.
Before I get back to you, Tim, because I know you had your hand
fine.
Up, one other way to take a look at this data is to ask what's happening off campus as opposed to on campus as well. Is that anything on the undergraduate level that you've been able to give some thought to yet?
No, we haven't.
With regard to online and off campus students specifically, there's still some discussion around sort of who's taking the lead on those kinds of things, and so we're working with our partners on campus to streamline communications for those programs as well.
I think off campus was actually up a little bit, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Off campus undergraduate was up,
but the absolute numbers are smaller than I would have expected.
Yeah, they're small in general, but yeah.
So, I mean, it may be an area of opportunity or there may be impediments, but I don't think we've really focused on what's happening with regard to the off-campus situation either. That may also be a good topic for us to take a look at in the future. All right, Trustee Struthers.
So some general observations and comments. So my first is, given the magnitude of the importance of enrollment, I was sort of shocked to get 25 pages of minutes and one page of random, I don't know if I want to call them random numbers, but some statistics on a page in a table. My comparison to that in the private sector would not even close, right? So I think the reality, this is the biggest thing there is, right, that we have going, the most important thing at the university, and there's one page, was stunning to me. Other observations that I hope you can take constructively. One, I think putting data on graphs mm-hmm. instead of tables is far more insightful and meaningful, provides trends and clear pictures of activity over time. I think the other really important piece of that is that you derive the key measures that are important, right? So Mark's asking about off-campus and on-campus and graduate and law school, and then we've got random, the business school did this, and liberal arts did this, whatever. You all pick, right, the 5, 10, 15 key measures, historical charts, and then most importantly, a standard of to where, you know, where you want to get to based on the strategies that you're deploying, and probably more specifically, the immediate next term target, right? So when I look at this, we're all happy that our enrollment decline was less than it was in the prior periods. Did that exceed your targets, or was that did it match your targets? Or were you it's not relative, or therefore reduces the relevance of it. Peer data would also be very, very important, right? So randomly to speak of one college that lost 11% and this one you heard and did this or that, right? For you to choose the most viable peer data to compare to, right, that's within the state of Illinois that may have challenges, or maybe somebody outside the state. It seems, again, the vigor and the urgency that I would expect to have this data managed, I, for one, would very much, if I got information on this weekly, would not be too much, right? Here's the 15 charts, here's the trends, here's the target. For example, new applications, how are we, for fall, right? Obviously, it's something you look at all the time, but I would surely want to see what that data looked like last fall, the fall before that, and then where did you expect it to be? And why did we fall short, or why did we exceed, or our strategies working? And even to pare that down more would be, subsets of strategies of some key techniques or strategies that you were deploying, and were they working, mm-hmm. right? So the inputs and the outputs to some degree. Just a lot more bulk and a lot more now kind of not just random bullet points of things that when I walk out of here, I don't feel a whole lot better now than about really what's going on and what's working and where our energy has been focused at, where the investments are and that sort of thing than I did prior. So,
okay.
Again, I'm very, very, very interested in this. I don't know if I speak for anyone else. About the robustness of the data and the strategies, and again, willing to help in any way that I can.
Yeah. To address some of your initial questions, I take full responsibility from the standpoint of there being one particular document available to all of you beforehand, and I'm still reviewing the data and information and making additional requests to institutional research because there is a lot more, I think, to be had in regards to the information and the data. And so I do apologize for not, getting additional information to you. I'm definitely happy to meet with you weeks before the next scheduled ad hoc enrollment meeting to sit down and have a discussion in regards to agenda items and specifically those things that you are most interested in hearing about, and so that we can work out the details of those. I think that would be helpful for me to hear from you directly in regards to that.
I think just as importantly, though, is I'm interested in what you're interested in.
Yes.
What you think are the key measures and the mm-hmm. key movers, and are they being yes. are they working to the expectations that you and Danny and the president see? So I would much rather have you provide that data and say, Tim or trustees, this is what we think are important. These are the needle movers, and here's how we're doing relative to our expectations. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I definitely would be happy to have those conversations with you and show that data with you. You're right. On a weekly basis, we do look at a lot of information and track from the standpoint of applications and enrollment numbers and so forth and confirmations. And so happy to share that with you. I've also worked with President Baker as well, from the standpoint, I know that there are certain kind of dashboard metrics that the board is interested in, and so I've had a chance to kind of look through and identify those key measures that are important to me, and I think that that you will find just as interesting.
Thank you.
I think those are good comments, Tim. So we traditionally do have a meeting to talk about the agenda. I had a meeting several weeks ago to talk about the agenda. So it would be better if we were able to receive the material so that we had a chance to study before we got to the meeting and we could have more meaningful conversation. One of the things we have talked about on prior occasions is the construction of a relevant set of metrics that we would be able to follow. And my recollection of those prior conversations in the context of this committee structure is that we didn't have clear direction as to which metrics people wanted to take a look at. And I think it might be fruitful for us to have some additional conversation about that today so that we might be in a position to be able to provide some clearer direction to people. It would be an indication as to what we're interested in seeing. With regard to the larger scale of items that we want to follow, there are, I'm sure you're aware, ongoing conversations regarding an overall set of metrics that include items other than admissions data that we would take a look at. And we'll continue to have those conversations, too. But before I get to Trustee Butler's question, maybe we could have a little bit of conversation about anything that people want to make sure that they're receiving as a data series, how often, and giving due consideration to some information that would rightfully be regarded as proprietary during the process of being able to go to the field and look for what are, in effect, our customers. Any comments? Trustee Marshall.
Probably putting an emphasis on those students who would come to us via the community colleges. Quite an interest there in seeing that we get more of the market share.
President Baker.
So some of the baseline measures that enrollment offices often used are applicants admitted and enrolled.
Right.
And then underneath that, you can look at process measures like time to respond, yep. Which is an important one because if you stretch it out for days or weeks, then you often have a lower yield rate.
Yep.
We measure those. And we can break that down, Trustee Marshall, by whether they're a transfer student from a community college or first-time freshman or graduate school. And then if you wanted to really go granular, you could go into the number of visits, the number of communications we have from students out of the CRM. We could go into the number of visits that our advisors, recruiters have, you know, in various locations. You know, that's getting pretty molar. But you can look at those kinds of process issues, too. But the outcomes are kind of applicants admitted, enrolled, and doing that in a timely fashion.
I mean, surely that would be the place to start, right? The end measure of success is qualified enrollment, right? So enrollment, you know, asterisks, right, that they meet the standards. So that's the number. And then from there, it would be the first break in that chart I suppose, retention rates and new students. And then from there would be another break, right? Applicants accepted and enrolled, and where are those measures trending? And then within that, boy, to me it would be that you're all sitting around thinking, working on your strategies, whether you're going after the community college transfers or the online students or graduate students or law school students or whatever it is that you're chasing that you think is most relevant to ultimately drive in that number. Again, if we get too many things on the page, we might as well not have any because we're not focused. But if ultimately the numbers that drive to the very top goal, it's very systematic, the old DuPont formula, right, that you continue to break it down multiple ways, and you probably only get to about 6 or 8 or 10 numbers that are key that'll drive that, and some of those may be input variables as well. But I would think a very systematic line of thinking there, again, with trends and targets would tell you, of course, and would very much tell us if those strategies are working. And then, of course, we'd say why or why not and get satisfaction around that.
I want to make a suggestion here because I think it's this conversation indicates the direction that we'd like to go in. There are some things to consider aside from information that should understandably remain confidential is the fact that some of these statistics don't change even as frequently as we meet, and we only meet quarterly. And so I don't want to create new data sets that are only available and useful for us. I think that what we have in mind is finding that set of information which is useful to the conduct of your work, but also accessible to us so that we can follow along what's happening. And so if we can get some recommendations as to what those might consist of, that's something it might be good for me to have a discussion with whoever's appropriate offline. And then to the extent necessary, I can circulate that through meetings to our committee members, and maybe we can come up with something that's both workable and useful. I know that the intention here from Tim's question is not to create a busy work project, but it's to allow us to be partners with you in figuring out what would work and to let you know of our interest and support. So I think that might be a good way for us to proceed. Unless your question has something to do with the data construction and you want to contribute something before we move on to your question.
Either way, we get to me, though, right?
Yes.
So I think it does have something to do with the data construction. What I originally wanted to ask is diminished significantly because it's subsumed in the comments that Trustee Struthers has made. I'm looking for more more links between strategy and results, as you interpret.
Yeah.
And without giving away shop secrets, there are some things that we have done, such as 2+2 programs and the establishment of means of transferring an Associates of Applied Science into some sort of a program. I'm interested if we can connect reasonably those strategies with any evidence that those are contributing to positive numbers. And positive numbers, in my view, are numbers that are not just showing an increase, but numbers that would otherwise perhaps not be experienced were it not for those strategies. So there's some reason to argue that the strategies have contributed to the positive numbers. Now, again, I also don't want to ask you to create new things just for me. But I do think at some point one of the roles of the board and this committee particularly is to ask these questions as to whether or not these strategies are linking to positive results. And any way that you can provide us that information would be useful, even if your answer is no, the strategies aren't leading to the positive numbers. But we now know that, and we're now thinking differently about this particular problem.
Yeah, I would love to have those conversations, particularly not during an ad hoc enrollment meeting, and that's from the standpoint of not wanting to give away the farm as it relates to our competitors. But there are certain strategies in which we're tracking the results of those that we'll be happy to share those and to address any questions that you have. So I think that you're right on.
Please.
And as we have that discussion, we need to be honest about how clear a line you can draw from X to Y. So we've done a lot of stuff all at the same time. It's not a very pure experiment. You know, you'd want to move one variable and see if the dependent variable moved. So we changed our allocation of financial aid, how we do that. We increased the number of recruiters. We changed the CRM. We shortened the turnaround time from the time we got an applicant to the time they heard from us to a day or less. We're doing more phone calling. We're targeting scholarships for particular students that we didn't do before. So then when we say, okay, did that scholarship make a difference? Yeah, probably, but it's blurred by a bunch of this other stuff. So as long, you know, we can give you qualitative examples on where it worked in cases and stuff, but we have to be just a little bit hesitant about over-interpreting all those pieces.
I'm reminded of, and maybe this makes some sense, so when I first joined, we talked about, and I got my bearings a little bit about the past, right, and I understood that the recruitment office was a bit in disarray years prior, right? Mm-hmm. And so my
a year prior.
Okay, I'm being kind. So my comment to the board was, I did were you all aware of this, and sort of like were you asleep a little bit, right? And I think we have the same thing today, right? So we're having these conversations, and I need to be provided enough data to give me confidence and assurance that we've got all the arrows going in the right direction, right? And that I can feel confidence. Says, man, when our numbers are down 500 and someone looks at me in the eye and says, what are you guys doing about it? I can defend that all day long, right? With, again, not a million numbers, that's not going to do it. But enough to, and I love, you know, Doug rattled through a handful of things, number of recruiters going up. I'd love to see that on a chart. I mean, that would be meaningful to me, that says we're putting real resources, or what the marketing dollars attributed to project X, Y, or Z, right? Mm-hmm. And again, if we get too many, it's not, you lose it, but enough to give us assurance and confidence that good work is going on here. Thank you.
Okay. Are we done with the enrollment numbers then and ready to move on to what was billed as 7B?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think what I'll do is I'll share a few highlights of programs that we have going on, and then Danny will take it from there. A couple of weeks ago, actually as recently as January 30th, we held our interviews for our presidential scholarship, which is our highest scholarship, our top scholarship. We interviewed 27 prospective students who qualified for the on-campus interviews. They were interviewed by faculty and current presidential scholars here on campus. And so we were very pleased. Last year, we had a 77% yield of offers to these enrolled presidential scholars. And we anticipate, which was 27% higher than anticipated. And we expect the same thing. We just have 10 slots for our presidential scholars. And so last year, we were for the first time, we had more than 10 students that said that they wanted to come to NIU. And the change that we did was basically the interviews and inviting them on campus and giving them an opportunity to interact with faculty and other current students. And I think that really heightened the interest and really helped us in increasing our yield rates with that group. And so we hope to enroll 10 students for fall 2016, if not more. And so I just wanted to share a bit of that from the standpoint of that interest, and that we are definitely attracting that top-tier student. We've had conversations or some updates in regards to the Angel Touch grant program. And this was a program that we worked with the NIU Foundation from the standpoint of supporting those students, current NIU students who are in good academic standing, but financially who may be struggling from the standpoint of being able to continue their education at NIU. And so I just wanted to share some numbers in regards to we call it the first initial fall cohort group of students that were supported through this program. We had 83 students that were identified who needed some form of financial assistance in order to return to NIU for this fall. Two of those students graduated this December out of the 83.
41 of those students were able to register for this spring semester without any additional financial help or support. And so the money that they received through this grant was able to allow them to continue their education and get on good footing. We had 18 students who had successfully completed at least 12 hours during the fall semester with a 2.0 term and cumulative GPA or higher, but still needed financial assistance for the spring semester. And the foundation was able to support those 18 students to help them continue on with their education. We had 16 students who did not successfully, for whatever reason, complete 12 hours during the fall semester. And they did not, for some reason, they did not do well academically, but for that semester, as well as that they would have liked. But they were able to continue on with their education here. And finally, there were just six students who did not successfully complete 12 hours with a 2.0, and so they did not enroll for the spring. And so out of the 83 students who were supported through this program, there were six students who were not able to continue on with their education. And so in looking at just kind of the 93% success rate for this program, I think that it shows that this is something that is needed, and I understand that the possibility of continuing on. And so I believe that the foundation will continue on with this particular cohort group to make sure that they finish up here at NIU. But I think it's a wonderful example of the importance of identifying donors to increase our scholarship support for our students.
What was the total that the foundation invested in this?
I don't have that number with me, but I can definitely get that number for you.
Sure.
So if I could just point out before we move on to something else, this is precisely the linkage that I'm looking for between programming and results.
I thought about that exactly, when you asked your
exactly
question, so I was... you know, I thought that this would hit it on the nail.
And it's entirely possible that going into these students, we could find out that there was some other factor that really kept them here. I mean, there could be some other factor, but I still think we can claim success between the programming and the result. I mean, we can at least say that it had some significant contribution, because minus this financial support, I think the reasoning is the student would not have stayed.
That's right.
And lastly, I just want to say that the president had created an institutional aid task force or financial aid task force to look at overall, you know, how we distribute our scholarship grant funds and other funding to students. And so they continue their work. At this point, the task force has identified five focus areas, and they've divided their work into two different phases. The first phase, which entails three of the focus areas, is they look to prioritize funding resources as well as budget processes and strategic planning to leverage operation improvements for FY18. In phase two, they will prioritize technology and assessment to continue improvements from phase one and ensure sustainability. The big thing is from the standpoint of establishing a system in which we're able to distribute our funds in the best way possible and utilizing our funds. And one of the things that I'm excited about is that, and I think I have mentioned this before, is that that you have different areas throughout the university that are serving on this task force. And I'm very excited and looking forward to seeing the final results of the work that they come up with, because I think this will be very essential as we talk about some of the programs like Angel Touch and some of these other programs that help support our students. I think this will be a major focus for us from the standpoint of tracking how we're able to impact students and show those results.
Please.
Thanks for that report, Eric. It was great. I had a situation report from the committee yesterday and wanted to see where they were. They're making good progress. Of course, I wanted them to go faster, but they're making good progress. partway through the meeting, I asked the co-chairs, Ann Hardy and Rebecca Babel, what were kind of the big ahas, epiphanies, surprising things coming together in this? And they seemed to agree that it was the cultural transformation they were observing. That in the past that there were pockets, this is my money to give out, this is my scholarship money or my waiver, and I'm not talking to you, to now people clamoring to be on the committee and wanting to figure out how to leverage the dollars more effectively. So I appreciate their leadership. I think they've helped facilitate that cultural transformation, and the fact that this committee is reaching out to people is helping with that. So kudos to them.
Danny?
So I'm just going to give some highlights of what we've been up to essentially since our last meeting in December. We had an admitted student day on January 30th, and out of 254 registered students, we had 217 that attended. So that's about an 85% show rate, which is up 3% from last year. We increased some calls and emails, and so again, we think that because we did more with calls and emails that more people showed up. As of today, 61% of those students that attended have confirmed. And on the day, we received about 20 new confirmations as well. So we have also added several call-a-thons. And so these call-a-thons are open to everyone on campus. Essentially, we'll give them a script and a calling list, and they can either come over to the Office of Admissions after hours, or they can call from their own offices, and we'll set them up with all of the access that they need in the CRM. And we're focusing on admitted student calls so that we can get our confirmation numbers up. In the past, we would do two of these a semester, and now we're doing three. So we just finished one up between January 25th and 28th. We'll have another one February 7th through the 12th, and then the last one will be March 21st through the 24th. We have some upcoming admissions information sessions, so some new recruitment events that we've added as well. Naperville is set up for March. Rockford is also going to be in March. Heartland Community College has reached out to us, and they will allow us to use some space for free. So we're going to do an information session for their students as well, but also just for anyone in that region that wants to attend. And that's going to be in mid-April. We're setting one up at Hoffman Estates for April 26th. And then we have a couple of events scheduled at public libraries in Chicago. And we like the library format because it's a little more accessible to the public. It's on bus lines and those sorts of things. And the library will also give us a space for free. So we utilize Sulster Library in Tolman for those as well. In terms of new projects, I wanted to give you guys some handouts here. So these are our new incomplete student postcards. So I wanted to hand those out. This is a brand new initiative. In the past, if we had a student that would apply and maybe didn't send us a test score or a transcript or their application fee, we would just send a series of emails. And really, it was sort of the same email over and over and over again. So we were just sort of nagging them, and not even nagging them in an incredibly sophisticated way, but we were just sort of sending the same thing over and over again, complete your application, complete your application. And so now we formulated these new postcards. These will go out to incomplete applicants twice a month, and then we'll also send the emails twice a month as well with similar imaging. So again, they make that connection, and that branding is there as well. So this is a new initiative I wanted to make you guys aware of. Because a postcard, well, in the past, one of the other things that we would do would perhaps be a letter once in a while. But a letter, if you get a letter in the mail, you know, it might sit on the counter, someone has to open it. you know, 17 or 18-year-old student is probably not going to open a letter, but their mom might see the postcard with, hey, you're missing something. So no one has to open this. It's also much more cost-effective as well. So, and even for, you know, non-traditional students, they need to know what they need to know when they need to know it. And so these small information pieces are going to serve us better than postcard or than letters, I think. So that's why postcard. Yeah.
No, I think that's great. I also applaud you for keeping the same graphic in the email as well.
Yeah, yeah. University marketing has been really helpful in working with us. I think I shared in the last meeting that I just had an associate director for strategic communications. She just started December 1st, and so she and university marketing, Abby Dean in particular, have been meeting on a regular basis really to get everybody on the same page. We've also been doing a lot of meetings with our departments and our colleges on campus to sort of discuss, you know, what we're trying to get at here in terms of sort of centralizing communications, making sure they all look the same, have the same voice, and really just sort of educating people on the importance of that, because it sounds like a really small thing, but it makes a difference in the long run. So we're working on those as well. The second new initiative, and I'm sorry I didn't have enough of these for everyone, but I'll pass a couple of these around. This is our NIU Alumni Volunteer Recruiter Manual. And so we're working with Alumni Relations to essentially come up with a roster of interested alumni who would be willing to be called if we can't make an event in their area. So let's say that we have a high school appearance, or we have a community college visit or a college fair at night that we just can't make because of, you know, staffing limitations. We have about 6 alumni who have expressed an interest so far, and we're working with the Alumni Foundation to sort of get emails out to these alumni and see if they're interested. And the idea eventually is to do something along the lines of, I don't know if you know Birchbox. I'm kind of a makeup geek. So Birchbox is something that you can order monthly, and you get a little box with samples of different things. And so we're trying to put that sort of concept together as, okay, you tell us that you're interested in recruiting on our behalf, and we'll send you a little box with a table blanket and one of these volunteer recruiter manuals and maybe sort of a little thank you gift as well, and their inquiry cards that they can then send back to us. So we're trying to build up to something as we build that roster as well. And then again, I think the last thing I would just update you guys on, something new since December, would be that we have made progress in our High School Counselor Appreciation Day that's going to be happening on March 4th. As of right now, we've had 32 RSVPs, and many of them are also planning to attend the basketball game as well. This is possible because of a grant from the Alumni Foundation. We received a grant of about $20,000 to put on sort of a big appreciation day for all high school counselors. We sent out invitations and saved the dates to about 1,000 high school counselors, and we've had 32 RSVPs so far, and that just went out this week, so we're expecting that to grow as well. That was a lot. Any questions or anything I can sort of highlight for anyone?
So it's conspicuously missing is the 2016 fall enrollment data. I assume that you're, do we not want to talk about that, or is that?
I would prefer to schedule a meeting afterwards for us to talk about fall 2016.
And again, I have no idea of protocol here, Mr. Chairman, but the idea of that being such an incredibly important topic that we don't really want to talk about in a public meeting, is that something that we can have an executive session for at some point in time where we could have a very honest, candid conversation about things as a group? I don't know.
Not aware of how we could do that in an executive session, but I would encourage you, to the extent that you have interest in exploring that information, to make contact through President Baker.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I think that concludes your combined presentation, right? All right, any other matters today? If not, I hope that we can work on establishing the next date for this committee to meet. We'll try and use the same protocol that we have in the past, where between Mike Mann and the president, we can determine availability of the assets that we require from the university, and then reach out to see which of the possible dates will work for the committee members. My interest is in keeping us on a frequent schedule for these meetings. I think there still remains considerable interest among the trustees to see that we're dealing with these matters in an appropriate manner. And so we have some items that we've surfaced today that hopefully we can get on the agenda next time, and some other things that are probably will come around and be appropriate that we've dealt with in the past. Provost Freeman.
Trustee Strauss, just based on our previous conversation in this session, am I correctly inferring that you might want a report on graduate admissions at the next committee meeting? I'm asking that so we can make sure that Dean Bonds is available.
Yeah, I think that would certainly be a possibility, depending on what else we had ready for the agenda. But that's something that we really haven't focused on at all yet, and I think it would be appropriate for us to do that sometime soon. The other topics that were mentioned today were trying to get some information on what has worked among the programs that have been discussed with us, whatever linkage data we have available, some information regarding what's happening with the off-campus as opposed to on-campus, and some continuation of our conversation or a revelation of the results of the discussion concerning appropriate metrics. All right. If there's nothing else, can I have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.